Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new season of The Kernel of Truth. I'm your host, Brian O'Sullivan, head of product management for Cumulus Linux. And joining me as co-host is Rupa Prabhu, chief Linux architect here at Cumulus Networks.
Hey, guys.
In this first episode of season three, we're going to talk about FRR, specifically updates from the community. Joining us today, we've got our in-house expert. He can introduce himself.
Hey, I'm Donald Sharp. I'm a principal engineer here at Cumulus Networks. And I work with Rupa and Brian.
And you're the FRR maintainer.
And I am a FRR maintainer, and I'm on the technical steering committee, and I try to help the community do what's best for FRR.
This blows my strategy of pretending I didn't know you. Now that cat's out of the bag early. Oh, so you know him. Oh, that changes. No, okay, you talked about FRR and maintaining it. So what is FRR?
So FRR is an open source routing suite that has everything you would expect from a routing perspective to be in there. It has BGP, OSPF, PIM, EVPN support. It's got is. It has
is it? Early version. Saying is?
I don't know how to say it. Do you say it?
I say ISIS, mostly because I don't want to say ISIS anymore. That's primarily the reason. But okay, is.
It's got a DMVPN support. It has, I said EIGRP. It has static routes. It's pretty much everything you could possibly want.
Yeah, and the list has grown recently, like VRRP and PIM. And yeah, any new protocol, we kind of think that FRR is the best place to put it. And
yeah, I mean, as an example, recently we got Open Fabric support. It's a draft that's in the IETF, and it's based off is. And I guess the one key feature that Open Fabric has that makes it really interesting, there's two key features. One is that you can figure out where you are in a data center fabric with it. And the second bit is they completely reduce the amount of flooding that is done for the protocol.
I think we'll have a separate full podcast on Open Fabric at some point.
Sure. So I guess the next thing I wanted to talk about a bit was who's using it.
Right.
Yeah, and the community members.
Yeah. So from a community perspective, we have a broad base of developers from like VMware, Volta, Sixwind. Those are the big ones. I've seen commits recently from Broadcom, from Amazon. So it's just a bunch of people, different people using it. Where could you use FRR? Well, Cumulus Networks, of course, and our NOS. The other places it's available is in Sonic. It's available with Dent. It's available with Danos. And it's also, you can use it in the pfSense firewall. Sixwind has a distribution that uses it, and VMware uses it as well.
Cool. And Donald, if I understand correctly, this is the only open routing stack available today, or is there Bird, or which are the other?
There are others. I would actually say that, you mentioned Bird, that has BGP, OSPF, and I think a couple other, but I don't think it's quite as feature complete as what FRR gives you. I think what the strength of Bird is it's considered a very good routing protocol suite for IAXIS.
Okay. And do you see overlap in the communities? And
yeah, actually I've definitely seen people who use both. And I've definitely seen people trying to compare and contrast the differences between the two.
So I guess the next thing what we wanted, Brian and I wanted to discuss was the FRR development process. I mean, how do you get PRs, or how is there a mailing list? How do people get to contribute?
Yeah, so our main website is frroutin.org. We're also available on GitHub. So go to github.com/frroutin. And if you want to contribute, you basically pull the source code and make your changes and submit a pull request up to GitHub. We have integrated continuous integration that's been supplied by the community that will take your code and auto test it against a variety of platforms and also run a whole bunch of regression tests against it to make sure you're not breaking anything.
So where are these, community tests, and do you guys host it somewhere, the CI/CD part for the open project?
Yeah, there's an organization called NetDef. It's netdef.org. They provide the community CI integration for everyone. I'm not entirely sure where their servers are located. I know they're basically VMs or some, VMs somewhere in the cloud from my perspective, that it notices the pull request on GitHub and it initiates a whole bunch of tests.
Okay. So then, you've got CI, there's code coming in, there's code, being validated and making sure it's not breaking everything and kind of still working. How do folks then get that code? How what's the release plan? Is kind of a regular
cadence? Sure. So we release 3 times a year, February, June, and October. And about a month before that time, we pull a stabilization branch that's basically just gets bug fixes at that point in time.
Right.
Where you can get it, you can go, if you have a Debian distribution, you can go to deb.frrowland.org and download the packages directly. You could also go to the CI system and pull the artifacts from the builds directly from there if you so desired. And finally, you can pull the source code and compile it yourself.
Right. And I guess to that point, there are folks using this for different reasons. I mean, we talked about it as, again, from a QMS Linux perspective, just as the routing component within QMS Linux and other distros you mentioned, Sixwind, et cetera. But there are folks who are just saying, forget any kind of networking kit. I just want to have routing on my hosts themselves. So whether I've got RHEL or I've got Ubuntu or what have you, and just being able to do routing directly and let's say peer with BGP directly from their hosts themselves if they so choose.
Yeah, actually, that's a big use case. In data centers, it's not unusual to see people start to install FRR on the end host and doing routing directly down to the end host. There's people who are rolling their own distributions. I shouldn't say roll their own. I guess the IXs are using it, and they build their own FRR and they connect to the global internet through BGP.
So do you know of any cloud providers using FRR? I think you mentioned AWS.
Yeah, so Amazon, Sonic. So whoever's using Sonic, Microsoft uses Sonic.
Microsoft, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. We know AWS is, well, I assume they're using it because we have commits from people at Amazon. So I would assume that. Who else? LinkedIn, I think, is using it because they use Sonic as well.
Yeah.
The large Chinese Baidu, Alibaba, Tencent.
So I guess we'll dive into what are the next releases and what's coming down the pike for FRR, the big things.
All right. So as I mentioned, the next release is in February, and that's going to be 7.3. And there's going to be a whole bunch of changes. BGP is probably our biggest winner here. It's going to get EVPN, PIP, which is primary
IP. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's interesting. Another interesting thing is that it's going to get vector IO. Well, and you're like, well, why do I care about vector IO? Well, basically, if you are running FRR at scale where you have 1,000 peers or more, it allows FRR to replace the single write call with write vector calls, and you can shove all your ready to go data out, and it actually greatly improves your convergence times because you're able to.
Sorry, I was just going to say you move from like n scalar calls into a single vector call.
Exactly. And it's actually, we had a end user come to us saying that his machine was being overloaded and not keeping up. And we did some performance testing and it was obvious that it was all the writes that were going on. And so we just made Quentin Young spent an afternoon, fixing the problem, and the load on the machine went from his network went from not convergent to convergent in like 30 seconds. It was that dramatic of a change. So it was, that's an awesome little change from my perspective. BGP is also getting hooks for peer status changes. That's more for end programmers and people doing work on FR. And there's also a whole bunch of route map aggregation increases. And so that's kind of what we're getting for BGP. For the another major bit of work that we're doing lately is NetConf Yang support. And we're starting to see some of the results from that. There's some performance improvements that are coming for NetConf Yang, and we're also some more support for it. Specifically, where I think Zebra's starting to pick up some of that data. OSPF's getting segment routing. That's actually kind of interesting. Segment routing is starting to heat up. I know someone who's doing some SRv6 works that should be coming in after the release after.
Yeah, we are seeing, at least from service provider folks, there's a lot of interest. I know, certainly FRR has MPLS support as is. MPLS is a big thing. There's a lot of things it could do, but there's MPLS there. But yeah, segment routing, especially, from certain regions, France, Japan, Russia, we see a lot more V6, SRv6 kind of discussions.
Yeah. So this is SRv6 or SRMPLS or both?
It's just OSPF V2 segment routing, which is more traffic shaping.
Got it.
Is what is the goal there. The Zebra or our RIB has gotten Nextop Group, which is really more of an efficiency. But recently, I think we've talked about it in one of the earlier Kernel Truth podcasts, was the Linux kernel getting the ability to do Nextop Groups. Well, this has been extended to the FRR's RIB or Zebra, and it takes advantage of that in the kernel. That's coming in 7.3 as well.
So Zebra's one question, Donald. So Zebra deals with not just the Linux data plane, correct? It deals with other data planes. So are you saying that it's receiving the common infrastructure of Zebra is receiving Nextop Groups, or it's just the Linux backend?
So we modified Zebra to think of Nextops as Nextop Groups, and also made changes so that when you install, instead of installing a route, you can install the Nextop Group in Linux, and then you install the route. None of the other kernels have that. So if I run FRR on a BSD, for instance, I will see the Nextop Group changes. I can do a show Nextop Group RIB, and you'll see the list of Nextop Groups and who's using them and how that's all configured, but it won't do anything from a kernel perspective there.
Got it. What about the FPM? Sorry.
FPM, that's not available for FPM yet, the Forward and Play Manager. Okay. The great thing about the Nextop Group code from a Zebra perspective is that if you have, before the Nextop Group work, if you had a million routes with 16-way ECMP, you had 16 million Nextop data structures relocated. And if all that 16-way ECMP for the million routes was the same, you now went down to one Nextop group with 16 Nextops. So the memory savings alone is tremendous. And the next thing that's being worked on, EVP and multi-home, and we're going to extend that into BGP to take advantage of that and to allow you to do things like, hey, change this Nextop group, that 16-way ECMP to 14-way ECMP now, and it'll just be an O1 insertion into the kernel or your data plane from that perspective.
So again, a lot of work around scale and speed, yes. I guess is maybe even a better word than scale in this case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Memory utilization.
Do you guys have any benchmarks on FRR? What is it, FRR.org?
We don't publish benchmarks. The Nextop group code right now was focused on correctness as opposed to speed. And we have some people working on the okay, now we've got the correct, it's correct. Let's do some tweaks to the algorithms and how we're thinking about the problem for speed. And we actually have some initial numbers that, very initial numbers that show like a 50% improvement in install times, which is pretty improvement and pretty impressive actually. So, and the, there's just a bunch of work there to extend the next hop group. It's, we're going to probably be extending the next hop group idea for the, at least the next year or two. And extending the trend tendrils of what it, how it interacts with the system throughout the entire system. The, let's see, PIM is getting MLAG, and it's also getting a whole bunch of state machine cleanups. There was a whole bunch of work recently to fix state machine interactions. So that's been a really good thing from my perspective.
A question on PIM, Donald. Does the PIM D today work only with the Linux system, or does it have also have other backends?
So, Linux. Okay, I need to start over. So there's source specific multicast that's available on Linux and NetBSD, and there's ASM or any source multicast, which is a StarG support, that is only available on Linux. And MLAG is also only available on Linux as well. There were a lot of kernel changes for PIM to make it work with an SM mode or ASM mode, that someone has to take the time and provide those changes as well to other kernels if they're interested.
Out of curiosity on that, I mean, obviously, you know, here we focus a lot on Linux. I'm sitting next to the Linux architect, but, you know, you talked BSD. Do you have any idea what kind of breakdown you're seeing from customers? I presume Linux is the largest utilization of FRR, but do you have any ballpark ideas? And
I would say the lion's share is Linux, definitely. Most of the people looking at FRR are looking for the advanced features like EVPN or PIM that are only available on Linux, and there's just no equivalent. There's no easy VERF ability on non-Linux systems. You can't even do large swaths of EVPN on non-Linux systems, mainly just because there's just no kernel support. Someone in the community needs to provide that. And I think the FRR community would be very happy to work and extend FRR to take advantage of the new features in other kernels.
Or we just keep the pace and make the Linux networking the best stack for FRR or best data plane for FRR.
Keep the sizable lead that's already there.
I know. Well, that's my interest.
It's interesting. I get this question, you know, obliquely on a regular basis. Why doesn't this work? Why does this feature work on BSD? And it's just someone needs to be interested.
Needs to, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
And,
yeah.
And the, you know, we say community, but it's really the business community that drives the development of the Linux, of this type of Linux feature.
Yep.
And as of this moment, there is not many people working to drive these features on BSD.
Yeah.
Right.
And as we know, I mean, it takes an end-to-end deployment to actually make any of these work and solid harden, right? So, and that's what we do here. So,
yeah, I mean, also, I mean, it's a vicious cycle kind of thing. You know, I'm sure if all of a sudden Amazon decided to go direct everything BSD and devote 1,000 engineers to the BSD kernel, I'm sure, you know, there'd be a lot more interest, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime today.
All right, so I kind of covered what's coming in the 7.3 release. There's a whole bunch of stuff coming that after that, that we don't actually have a specific release for, but we have people who have a talked about it or actually already submitted pull requests upstream. Let's see, BGP is going to get fib route install and only advertise those. So current behavior of BGP is you get a route, you disseminate the route to your peers. And the change here will be before BGP will disseminate that route, it'll make sure that's installed in the rib and consequently the fib. And so that's one change that people have been asking for. There's a graceful restart feature for BGP that's being worked on upstream. I think that's kind of interesting. So FR does have some underpinnings for graceful restart, but it doesn't work very well. And it just needs to be reworked. And I think people are working on that.
Yeah, and that is certainly an area I know where we've had talks with customers, graceful restart and long live graceful restart and other things as well. So,
yep. VRP is going to get VRF support. There's going to be some route map optimizations coming in. And what I mean by that is that there'll be speed ups for specific, if you have 100,000 lines of prefix lists and route maps that use those 100,000 lines of prefix lists, FR will be faster in figuring out the route map. It can be quite slow right now in some instances. There's going to be a whole bunch of netconf yang work coming in the near future. There's a lot of companies and a lot of interest from a bunch of different companies about getting this implemented in FR.
So is this for all protocols or development is trickling in slowly?
Right now we have a weekly meeting to discuss just North netconf yang implementations. And so right now we're kind of starting at, right now, let me start back a little bit. So right now we have is and rip support for netconf yang and Zebra. There's a pull request for Zebra. There's one for static D. There's a pull request for route map yang. There's the next hop group yang model that we're talking about. So there's just a whole bunch of work from the entire community sitting down, ironing out how we want this to look and how to end up being. And I imagine once we start getting that, we'll start seeing actual code to convert it over. It's a mechanical change at that point in time.
What about OpenConfig kind of relating to that sort of yang modeling?
So the community is taking the approach that the model we're using we want to choose a model that's appropriate for FR, not the IETF model necessarily, or the OpenConfig model. Now, having said that, we're looking at both those models and going, hey, we like this feature, we don't like the feature. It doesn't actually, or this one doesn't take into account our use case, or doesn't take into account some specific feature of FRR, and we'll do the right thing for FRR there. I know it's like kind of a wishy-washy answer, but there's no
it's one a good, answer. I mean, it makes sense. And certainly if there's a foundational information in the modeling, even if it's not, a one-to-one mapping, that's obviously can be of use as you're figuring out what the model should be.
Do you see the CLI VT via such talking API at a certain point, or it'll still go through?
Yeah, that's actually the long-term goal, is to completely rip out all the V2I shell CLI and make the netconf yang the actual true middle between the daemons and all external communication. That's the long-term goal. It's not, that's going to be a year or two at the very least. That's just a lot of work. There's 100,000 lines of CLI code in FRR alone. And that's just a lot to maintain.
So is there any kind of asks from the FRR community themselves? I mean, sandwiches or drinks, notwithstanding.
so what people do is you can go to the GitHub FRR/issues page, and people ask for features all the time. It's kind of this weird little world of, people want things, but unless they have a business necessarily or someone who's interested in doing that, who's going to do the work, right? Features are cheap. From a development perspective, that's time and energy that someone has to spend. Someone has to scratch that itch, and it's usually someone's got to get paid to do that. So that's kind of, there's not necessarily people come and say, hey, it'd be cool if we had this feature. And I'm like, I agree, but that's not my day job.
I got a mortgage. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's worth asking. Maybe someone will be interested in picking it up, right?
And it's always important to have that community and have different groups. I mean, it sounds like certainly there's a lot of different organizations, different companies, different groups, different interests kind of contributing to it. And that's always the sign of a good, a stronger community.
Yeah, I agree. It's the community is picked up quite a bit over last year.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Kernel of Truth. We'll be posting some show notes on the Cumulus blog. You can find loads of educational material on Cumulus, as well as the open networking industry as a whole. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. You'll be notified when the next episode is posted, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All right. Thanks.